Doug Wright. Doug Wright.
Interrupting everything to cover breaking news.
You'll hear it first on KSL News Radio.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by our former governor, John Huntsman Jr., who will be calling in. He is, along with Joe Lieberman, is hosting this event that is underway right now. We've been seeing this crawl on many of the screens where it says Trump speaks at No Labels Conference. And our former governor said there's never been an event like this before to have so many presidential candidates from both parties gathered at the same event. Speaks to the growing influence of the No Labels movement and the growing desire for a new politics of problem solving in America. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I wanted to give you some heads up. I think we do have Governor Huntsman joining us right now here at KSL. And Governor Huntsman, it's been far too long. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Doug, it has been far too long. You're a good man for having me on. Not everybody's willing to do that. I owe you a big one.
Oh, no. Hey, all we need to do is get out on the Harleys again. That was so much fun.
I'll have to reciprocate and bring on my program, for heaven's sake.
That sounds great. Anytime. Governor, tell us about the No Labels movement, would you?
Well, it's a remarkable thing that we've got going here in New Hampshire. We realize that as a country we have a constitution, we have the institutions of democratic governance, but we've had human failure. Our elected officials basically have let us down, and we have gridlock, and we have finger-pointing, and we have point scoring, and the important stuff, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, just isn't getting done. I mean, things like budgets, things like tax reform, things that will really enliven and ensure our competitiveness in the 21st century. So it's a big problem. And right now it's eating away at every family, our ability to succeed, our ability to compete and project that good old sense of American power. So we're banding together here, and our energies really are focused on laying the groundwork for problem solving at the outset of the next administration when we're going to have a clean slate. There's nothing that you can do right now. But we've done a couple of things, Doug, under the No Labels banner, and I'm here with Joe Lieberman, who's my co-chair, to really begin to prime the pump, if you will, for a conversation around problem solving for the 2016 election cycle. So we've organized this New Hampshire Problem Solvers Convention, which is the first of its kind. We didn't know if anybody would show up. The reason we're here in New Hampshire is because it's the first primary state in America. People turn out, and they care deeply about the issues, and all the candidates are going to have to file through here and be questioned about many of these issues. So we organized the convention, and here we are, 2,000 people, mostly uncommitted, unaffiliated voters, which is 40% of New Hampshire's voting base. And pretty much where the United States is, by the way. And we didn't know if any of the presidential candidates would want to show. We wanted both Republicans and Democrats here to make sure that people knew that this whole concept of problem solving wasn't a single-shot partisan thing, but basically applicable to whoever the next president is. And they started signing up, and I talked to Trump several weeks ago, and he said he wanted to come. So we've had everybody between Trump and Sanders today. We got Chris Christie, who's in the room next door, who's going to go on in a minute. And it's interesting, Doug, in that the 2,000 folks who are here are not accepting the same old throwaway sound bites and pandering. When people say they're going to do something, they respond from the audience by saying, "How? Tell us how you're going to do it." And this is why this kind of gathering is so different, because people are demanding to know the hows, which is far different, because when you start talking about the how you're going to do something, then you have to start describing a pathway for working with people, working with the opposition party, building diverse coalitions, because nothing gets done that is important in this country without both parties basically being invested in getting involved.
You know, Governor, I think there are so many Americans who are longing for something like this. We are so, myself included, There are times, and I just refuse to give up, but there are times when you go, what is it finally going to take? When the approval rating of Congress, I think, has skyrocketed all the way up to 14% right now from probably one of the all-time lows around 9%. But, you know, you've been in business. You're on so many boards. What corporation, what entity, what organization could survive with a consistent approval rating under 15%?
Well, and without doing anything of significance, and this is what I told the group this morning. I said, every family, every mom and dad raising kids, every company, big and small, every school board for the most part, they're all expected to make things happen, make decisions, compromise, and move the issues forward for their constituencies. No organization could survive without doing that, except Congress. And it's the darndest thing, and they sit there and spin and achieve very little. And again, our founding fathers made the system so decisions are naturally difficult, and we have checks and balances built in. But when you can't even get a budget done, and when the government continues on a continuing resolution, and you hit debt ceilings every now and again in these fiscal cliffs, you know, it's amazing that the private sector can carry on and do what they do. And I'll tell you, the most telling thing for me, Doug, was recently sitting in Detroit on the board of a car company, a great American car company, Ford Motor Company, that has really come back from hitting the wall, didn't take a federal bailout, and now they're making probably the best products ever in the history of Ford Motor. And the same day, which was last Thursday, you had Congress absolutely implode, probably worse than it has since 1855. And what happened to the Dow, the stock market? It went up 100 points. Inconceivable. And that, to me, was an example of how disconnected the real world of job creation and competition have become from Congress.
When your various guests are speaking to these folks back in New Hampshire, and you mentioned this group, this audience, and this organization is not accepting the normal patter or even pandering, how does that unfold? What is that environment like, Governor? Are people asking questions? How are the questions asked?
Well, it's great because they're all from the floor, and when I was spending time with Donald Trump before he went on, I said, say what you want to say, but in New Hampshire tradition, of course, you're going to have to, you know, use your last 10 or 15 minutes to open it up to the audience. That's just the way they do it in New Hampshire. They'll boo you off the stage unless you're willing to open up for a little bit of abuse from the audience. It's just the New Hampshire tradition. And Trump got out there, and he went through his thing, and he talked about problem-solving and how he worked to build a big business. And he was absolutely right. I mean, he's done a lot of problem-solving in his career. Then he opened it up right at the end. He got some questions, including one about the $19 trillion debt. And he gave an answer, and it wasn't satisfactory. And the audience went, how are you going to deal with it? Give us specifics. And it's almost like it caught him off guard a little bit. And I thought, you know, I've never heard that before from an audience in any political gathering. Usually they take whatever the candidates want to feed them. But now they're pushing back with the how are you going to get. So you want to build a wall? Well, how are you going to build a wall? And what constituencies are you going to bring together to make that happen? But in this case, you know, they pushed back a bit against Donald Trump on how he was going to deal with the $19 trillion deficit. And I suspect when Christie is on stage and when Kasich is on stage after that, they're going to do the same thing. And I think it's a very healthy response from a group of voters who have basically hit the 212-degree boiling point, and they don't want the same old, same old. They want specific answers.
Well, I think that is so clear from the American voter right now, the American people right now. We do not want the same old stuff. And, you know, you've alluded to what unfolded in the House of Representatives, and you really do wonder where all of this is going to go. If there is one hope that you and former Senator Lieberman have, we're talking with our former Governor John Huntsman Jr. here, an ambassador to China. When you and Senator Lieberman look at the future of the No Labels Conference, what is the ultimate goal and hope for this? Where do you hope it actually takes or perhaps steers the country?
Well, the goal is this, and the goal is the operative word here, because we as a nation have gotten out of the goal-setting business. We used to do it back when Reagan was president. He set common goals with Tip O'Neill, who he didn't often agree with. And Clinton did the same thing in the 90s with Newt Gingrich, who was a great Speaker of the House. They set a goal to balance the federal budget. They both took different pathways in getting there, but they had a common goal. And we know there's not much we can do before the next president takes office, but we think we have a real opening, a fresh start, the first quarter of 2017 with whomever that new president is, and that's why we're opening this up to Republicans and Democrats alike. And that's to say, okay, we've created a national strategic agenda, No Labels has, and we've taken the four big issues that the American people want to see done. They're not issues that we think are important, but it's the feedback we've received from some pretty sophisticated polling of the American people. And it includes a jobs agenda, a balanced budget, dealing with entitlement reform, and energy self-sufficiency. Those are the big four. And so we think we have an opening when we can get the next president of the United States to focus on goals with those in Congress, including our Problem Solvers Caucus. We now have 70 to 80, half Republicans, half Democrats, who are part of the Problem Solvers Caucus on Capitol Hill. Many of these members of Congress are here with us, and they're saying, we want to move, we want to get this stuff done, and we want a president who we can actually work with, who will share common goals with us. I think if the stars align between the players on Capitol Hill, the next president, and people in the grassroots who are demanding action on these critically important issues for 21st century survival, we might be able to see some magic that we haven't seen in a very long time.
Governor, I have high hopes for this. I really do. And I so appreciate you joining us today. You know, it just reminds me how much I've missed the good old days. You used to affectionately and good-naturedly call it, let me harass the governor. But
I loved it. It was terrific, Doug, and you're the very best. In fact, I'm such an amateur when it comes to radio, although I try my hand at it every weekend on Sirius XM. And I keep thinking, you know, when I'm sitting behind the microphone, what would Doug Wright do?
Oh, I like that. That made my whole day. And, Governor, when you're out here and you want to give that Harley a little run, you just let me know.
I'm there.
All right.
You can count on it. Thanks, Doug. You're a terrific friend. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. Our former governor, John Huntsman Jr., with us here at KSL, and, of course, former ambassador to China. And we're talking about the problem-solving event that is underway, the No Labels event that is underway back in New Hampshire.